You can open in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 in your Bible. We're going to be talking a little bit tonight about faith and patience for finances, and then we're going to be taking the offering. Pick it up with me, if you would, right here. Mark chapter 10, faith and patience for finances. Let's begin right here in verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery." We got that down, don't we? We are taking the offering, you know. Are you aware of that? "Do not kill." Hallelujah. We do pretty good with that. Some could do better. Amen. Hallelujah. "Do not steal." The word is klepto in the Greek. Don't be a kleptomaniac. "Do not bear false witness." Don't tell lies about your neighbor or your pastor. "Defraud not, honor thy father and mother." Amen? Hallelujah. And he answered and he said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Bingo, he said, "I got them all down perfect, Jesus." And then Jesus, beholding him, or looking him in the eye, Jesus' eyes filled with compassion, looking in this young man's eyes. He loved him. He unleashed love for him. And he said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." Now, I didn't plan on going over here tonight. I was going to minister on divine healing tonight. But this is how the Holy Spirit's leading me. Look what he said. He said, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor." Have you ever read that and had this thought? Or have you ever been in a church service and heard somebody preach that Jesus told this man to go sell everything he had and give it to the poor and then come follow me? Have you ever heard that come out of that verse before? Sell them. Have you ever read that and thought that's what it was saying? Go and sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven? That's not what Jesus is saying. I've heard that preached. Sell what you have, give it all to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. And then you'll also be poor, and the poor will be rich. That's not what Jesus was saying. When he said sell, right there, when he said sell whatsoever thou hast, he was talking about the man's merchandise. He was a rich young businessman, a retailer, wholesaler. He sold merchandise. He sold goods. And Jesus said, continue to sell what you have, but start paying your tithes and your offerings and giving to the poor. You got it down in all these other areas, but you don't have it down in the giving realm. Amen? He did not say, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. He said, continue to sell your merchandise. Continue to barter and to trade and to give unto God that which is God's, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. Jesus knew how to lay up treasure in heaven. It's called tithes and offerings. Amen? It's called tithes and offerings. Somebody said, no, God wants you to sell everything you have and give it to the poor because he doesn't want anybody to be rich. Well, then why does he want you to make a poor man rich with your wealth if he... That doesn't even make sense. That's contradicted by logic. And it's also contradicted by Scripture. He's saying, sell of which thou hast. not sell whatsoever you have. When you look it up in the original language, it says, sell that of which thou hast. Keep selling. Keep bartering. Keep trading. Keep being a good businessman, but start giving to God what belongs to God, and in doing so, you'll be laying up treasure in heaven, and God will prosper you in the earth. Amen? Take up your cross and follow me. Find out what the will of God is for that business that you're running, why He gave it to you, how you can prosper in it to bless the people of the world. That's what He's saying, take up your cross and follow me. Find out what God's will is for your life and your business, and stop goofing around like some independent. Look what He said right there. He said, Do not commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. Honor your mother and father. And the guy said, I got it all down. And Jesus said, you got everything down but the given part. Get the given part down. And lay up treasure in heaven. Amen? Let's keep reading. And he was sad at that saying, because he misunderstood it like most people misread it today. He thought Jesus was telling him he had to sell everything he had, give it to the poor, become poor himself, and that's the only way he could follow Jesus. And he was sad at the saying, and he walked away grieved. You know what he walked away from? A fortune. He walked away from Jesus' blessing on his business because his greedy mind misinterpreted what Jesus was telling him. He walked away grieved, for he had great possessions. He misunderstood Jesus, thought he was supposed to give it all away, like so many believers today. Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? I've heard this preached that the rich can't go to heaven. Is that what that says? Does it say the rich can't go to heaven? No, it doesn't. It says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Because they wrongly think if they come to God, they're going to have to give God everything that they own and become poor and take up that cross and follow Him. That's not what He's saying. He said it's difficult. It's difficult for the rich to come into heaven because they don't have proper teaching. They don't read the scripture for themselves. They don't understand that God is not looking to take everything away from them. He's looking to give them something. So they won't come. In greed and in fear. He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? His own disciples here misunderstood what he's saying. They thought he was saying the rich can't go to heaven. Look at verse 24. The disciples were astonished or astonied. They were shocked, freaked out, horrified by what they just misunderstood, he said. They too thought he was saying the rich can't go to heaven. When he said, no, it's difficult for the rich to go to heaven because they misunderstand kingdom finances. They were astonished. You know why they were astonished? Because they were wealthy businessmen, fishermen, owned their own fishing companies, had employees. They were wealthy people. And they thought Jesus was telling them, you can't go to heaven with all that money. They were astonished at his words. Jesus answereth again, saith unto them, children, listen closely. I'm saying how hard it is, not impossible, how hard it is for them that trust in riches and not in God to enter into the kingdom of God. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And people read this today, and they say, well, it's impossible to get a camel through the little eye of a needle, so I guess a rich man can't go to heaven. Did you see that? That's what people think he's saying. Take a little teeny sewing needle, and take a big old camel, whether it's a dromedary or a... what's the other one? One hump or two? Camel's two humps, dromedary's one. And get it through the eye of a needle. Can it be done? Impossible. Again, they're not paying attention, not listening to what the man's teaching them. He wasn't saying, take a literal camel and put it through the literal eye of a needle. The eye of the needle was a gate in Jerusalem that they would drop down at night so people could still bend down and walk underneath the gates, called the eye of the needle. I'm sorry, not the eye of the camel. The eye of the needle that dropped the gate down, and a human being could get underneath it. But if invading armies came on camelback with weaponry to take over the city, the camels had to get on their knees, have everything taken off their back, everything dragged through, the camel get on their belly, go underneath the door, stand up on the other side, and reload the camel to invade the city. And invading armies, if they brought 30, 40, 60, 80, 120 camels, they had to repeat that process over and over, and by the time that was done, the city was alerted and they couldn't be invaded. That gate was called the eye of the camel, or the eye of the needle. He said it's easier, not impossible, because the camel could go under it. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, the gate in Jerusalem when it's down three quarters of the way, than for a rich man to get into heaven. He didn't say it was impossible. He said it's difficult as getting a camel into Jerusalem at night. Not impossible, but very difficult. Because rich people trust in their riches and they don't trust in God. Can you see that? The disciples were astonished because they were thinking, how in the world do you get a camel through a sewing needle eye? And that's not what he was saying at all. He said, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And here again, misunderstanding what he was saying, they were astonished out of measure. Jesus, you're blowing our minds. We thought by following you, we'd get into heaven, and now you're telling us we can't go because we got the big bucks. Jesus' disciples were not poor. They were wealthy fishermen, businessmen, independent, owner-operators, owned their own ships. Peter loaned his ship to Jesus, his fishing ship. Matthew was a tax collector. People hated tax collectors because they put the knuckle on people for money they didn't know, and they lived wealthy lifestyles, ostentatious lifestyles, overtaxing people. Matthew was loaded. The disciples had money. And here they're completely misunderstanding what they just saw the rich young ruler go through, walk away from a fortune, Jesus teaching on the eye of the needle, and look at them here now. And they were astonished in verse 26, out of measure. We would say today, beyond belief, their minds were blown at what Jesus was saying because they were misunderstanding what he was saying. Amen? They didn't understand a lot of things Jesus was saying because they weren't baptized with the Holy Spirit yet. Did you get that? The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is our teacher. They weren't baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, after the disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and Jesus ascended up into heaven, suddenly they began to understand things that he said when he was here that they didn't understand. These are some of those things. I'm just doing what the Holy Spirit's showing me to do here tonight. Amen? They were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, well then, who can be saved? If we can't be saved, we're your disciples, and you're saying we can't go to heaven because we got money. Who can go? Don't you like that piercing high voice I break into occasionally? I listen to it on a recording, and it's like, oh, Barbara, shut that off. Hallelujah. Jesus, looking upon them, saith, while with men, it's impossible, but not with God, for rich men to get into heaven. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, Jesus, we had so much, and we left it all, and we followed you. And look what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, calm down, Petey boy. Calm down, Simon Peter. There is no man that hath left house or brethren, sisters or father. You see, they left their families to follow him. Would you look up here, by the way? May I say this to you? They left their businesses. They put the boats on the shore and walked away from their prosperous fishing businesses to follow this man of miracles. Jesus, when they followed him, met every one of their needs and their family's needs supernaturally. Do you understand that? he met, he had a 12-man entourage and a treasurer. We saw Joseph of Arimathea in Matthew chapter 28 last Sunday. An exceptionally wealthy man who was a disciple of Jesus came and took his body off the cross and put it in his own brand new tomb. Jesus had tremendously wealthy people, tremendously influential political people, wealthy people who were his disciples and poured money into his ministry. Jesus took care of every need of all 12 of his disciples, the traveling entourage and their families back at home. He had a treasurer. A treasurer! Do you have a treasurer? Jesus wasn't poor. He bore poverty on the cross. Poverty is a curse of the law of sin and death. It's a curse for sin. He bore our sins, 1 John 5:2 says. He bore our sins, yet he was without sin. And poverty is a penalty for sin. So if he bore the sin, he bore the penalty for sin. He bore our poverty. Let's keep reading. I'm just talking to you by the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. This chapter takes on whole new meaning when you read it properly. There's no man, he said, who leaves a house or a brother or a sister or a father or a mother or his wife or his children or lands for my sake, for the sake of the gospel, for seeking and saving the lost, destroying the works of the devil, but he shall receive. What does your Bible say, somebody? Every Bible says the same, doesn't it? 100-fold in heaven. 100-fold in the sweet by and by. 100-fold on the other side of the curtain. It says 100. Listen, this is scripture. This is Jesus talking, people. He shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses. One house isn't enough for you. Jesus wants you to have another house, if that's what you would like to have. As an investment holding. He said houses plural, didn't he? That's his will. Now, in this life, brethren and sisters, mothers and children. Remember Jesus said, my mother and brethren are those who do my will. Remember in Luke chapter 8, I read it to you just recently, and I made the point with you that Jesus prefers brethren who obey his word even over his closest family members. Amen? He said, if you will invest into my kingdom, you'll get 100-fold now. If you will invest into seeking and saving the lost, destroying the works of the devil, you'll get 100-fold return in the form of houses and in the form of brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord, if you'll invest into the kingdom. Oh, God, I know where to go from here. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Amen. In this time, now, in this time, this earth that we live in, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. He's talking real estate. Hallelujah. What's the name of the Charlie Brown Christmas video? Charlie Brown Christmas. Charlie Brown Christmas. One of Charlie Brown's friends walked up to him and said, I think it was Schroeder. He said, what would you like for Christmas, Charlie Brown? And Charlie said, real estate. And I thought, that's scripture. The whole movie is scripture, you know. Charlie Brown Christmas. Amen. It's been running for over 40 years now. When it first came out, the network, ABC or CBS, whichever one was the first one that ran it, fought with the producers of it. They said, it won't go over. There's too much Bible in it. Too much. It's a gospel story, you know, a Charlie Brown Christmas. Amen. It's about Jesus shedding his blood for the salvation of man. Amen. And that's what Charlie's little friend. Charlie was all bummed out all through the whole movie because it's just too much commercialism in Christmas. And one of his friends came along and gave him joy by telling him, well, it's not about commercialism, Charlie. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about the Son of God. That thing's been running for 46 years. When they told them, when they produced it, people in America don't want that. It's too much gospel in it. People in America do want the gospel. Amen? What do you want for Christmas, Charlie Brown? Real estate. And I thought that's as biblical as anything in that movie. Amen? In that little video, that sweet little video. Amen? And lands, he said. with persecutions comes with the territory. Amen? Sometimes, unfortunately, the persecutions come before the land and the houses and the hundredfold return comes to get you to back off. But if you'll stand steady and hold steady, stand strong. Jesus said, a hundredfold return in this life, now. And then look, just so that you didn't misunderstand him, and in the world to come, eternal life. He contrasted the two so there'd be no question as to what he's saying. Now, a hundredfold return. Put your faith on it. I got my faith on it. Don't see it working for you, Pastor. Keep watching. I'm not quitting. I will not quit. I will not cast away my confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for after I've done the will of God, I will receive the promise. Hebrews 10:35. We need to hear a whole sermon on that for our anniversary message. Amen. I will not quit. Amen. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let the devil back you off. Amen. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Go over to Luke chapter 16, if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You getting anything out of that chapter there? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 16. Hallelujah. This is good preaching. Good teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants us to understand Mark chapter 10. Amen? Look over here in Luke chapter 16. Hallelujah. Tell me when you're there. Verse 9. Jesus said, these are red letters, Jesus talking. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now that's one of the simplest verses in Scripture. It needs no explanation, so we'll move on. Hallelujah. No, please. Please, Pastor. Verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. The degree to which you walk with him now is determining the degree to which you'll walk with him in heaven. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, he's talking about money, who will commit to your trust true riches? When you get to heaven, who's going to make you a ruler over 10 cities, 15 cities, 20 cities, whatever? If you couldn't even be trusted back on earth with chump change. He said that's what, that which is least, money. Amen? Now let's go back to verse 9 just so we can see what he's saying here. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. This truly is very simple to understand. I'm going to explain it to you. What is the mammon of unrighteousness? Money. It's the mammon of unrighteousness. It's the coin of the realm. It's that which the world uses to do their business. We need to use it to do our business as well, and God understands that. Amen? Money is the coin of the realm here on planet Earth. So he said, make to yourselves friends with your money. Make to yourself friends, not worldly friends, godly friends. What he's saying here is, invest into the saving of souls with the money, a percentage of the money, like he told the rich young ruler, that God puts into your life. That's what you're doing when you pay tithes and offerings into this local church. You're investing into the kingdom of God. So we can establish a work and souls can be saved. And those souls that are saved can be taught. So use your money to win the lost, is what he's saying. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. I'm going to say it again. Use a percentage of what God gives you, just like he told the rich young ruler, to make friends or to win souls into the kingdom. That when ye fail, or when you give up the ghost and your spirit leaves your body and you go on to heaven, who are they? The friends you made on planet Earth, the souls you saved on planet Earth with your money, with your financial investment. That when you fail and go to heaven, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. You'll be walking through eternity, and people come up to you and say, Helen Robinson, God bless you, thank you, you don't know me, but I'm in heaven because of the investment you made into my soul. Amen? Because the seeds you planted into your church or into the television ministry or wherever God tells you to put it resulted in the salvation of my soul. I wouldn't have been here if you hadn't obeyed God and paid your tithes and your offerings. I'm your friend forever. I don't care if you don't want me. I'm yours. Make to yourselves friends with the mammon of unrighteousness. Win souls with your money that when you fail or when you die, I don't like that word. But we use it for teaching purposes because you never die, if you're a believer, that when you fail, when your spirit leaves your body, you go on to heaven, you'll spend eternity surrounded by people who were there because of you. Eternally grateful to you for it. Can you see that? But we have to hold steady. The Lord said to us through Brother Maurice tonight, patience is the word. Patience is the word. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. Hallelujah, we're taking the offering. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Are you getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Amen? Now, we all know the three reasons money comes, don't we? The three reasons money comes are the same three reasons that Jesus came. I'm going to give them to you again. You going over there to Hebrews chapter 10? Is this blessing you? Shall I finish? I'm being led to do this by the Spirit of the Lord tonight. I did not come prepared to do this at all. We were going to have a little healing service here tonight. I guess we're going to have a little financial healing service here tonight. Amen? Jesus came. Luke 19:10 says that the Son of Man came to, Luke 10:19 says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Did I say 19:10 or 10:19? It's 19:10. I'll tell you what 10:19 is. He said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Amen? Luke 19:10 says that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Money comes to seek and save the lost. You know this. The first reason Jesus came was to seek and save the lost. The first reason money comes is to seek and save the lost. The second reason Jesus came, 1 John 3:8, is to destroy the works of the devil. Second reason money comes into our hands, into our lives, into our bank accounts, supernaturally. He said, give and it'll be given unto you. I will cause men to give it to you supernaturally. No, you know not how. Your job is to believe, says the Spirit of God. My job is to move on individuals to bless you. The second reason Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, that's the second reason money comes, that we might use it to destroy the works of the devil. And then the third reason. May I have a volunteer, please? John 10:10. Jesus came. He said the thief came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. We were talking out in the hallway the other night, Barbara and myself and Maurice, that that word steal is klepto in Greek. He's a kleptomaniac. He'll steal anything he can from you if you let him. That's all he knows. He's a thief and he's a liar. That's all he knows to do. Jesus came to destroy him. Jesus said, the thief. It's the thief, not God, who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. If anything's stealing from you, killing or destroying your finances, it's not God trying to teach you something. It's the devil, Jesus said. John 10:10 is the greatest revelation in all of Scripture. It's a revelation that the people in the Old Testament didn't have. But it's a revelation we have and we are responsible for. Satan is the damner, God is the blesser. The thief came to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The word is actually and have it super abundantly. And that's the third reason money comes, that you might have life That you might live a comfortable life? That we might live comfortable lives? And live comfortable lives of abundance. Now, I'm not saying he wants us to be ostentatious. Live ostentatious, greedy lifestyles. He wants us to have more than we need. So that we can give the way, so we can live the way he wants us to live. So that our lives will be testimonies of health and wealth in the earth. And so that we can give the way Jesus instructs us to give. So that he can cause others to give back to us. And we can just keep this thing going. And what's the word I'm looking for? Compounding, bootstrapping. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Money comes to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Money comes to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came, third, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Money comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Over here in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm just talking to you by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're probably going to close. We'll sing a song and close after this tonight. Amen? This is a special service for special people. Hallelujah. I said it's a special service for special people. It's a special service for special people. I told you on Easter Sunday. This is probably the last intimate Easter we're going to have together, just a few of us. Because we are about to embark into explosive growth over the next year. Do you believe that? We have to believe it. If you don't believe it, it won't happen. Amen? The biggest problem the body of Christ has in the earth is unbelief. Taking the position, well, if it's God's will, he'll grant it. If it's not, he won't. Well, God's word is his will. This is the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the last will and testament. The testator died for it. It is his will. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. It is his will. You can't take the position, if God wants to, he will. If he doesn't, he won't. Because if that was true, he'd just bless everybody in the world. And we'd all just be out of here tomorrow morning. He'd save everybody, prosper everybody, and get us all out of here. Home to heaven. But it's a matter of faith. We have to put our faith on it. We have to put our faith on it and expect it. We have to expect people to give to us. We have to unleash expectation or it won't work. The Bible says, you're there in Hebrews 10. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who cometh unto God must not only believe that he exists, but we must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Seek him how? Through the word. How do we seek him? Through the word. Give and it shall be given unto you. Just keep doing it and keep expecting. Keep planting seed and expecting a harvest. Keep planting seed and expecting a harvest. Even a farmer, when he plants seed, he doesn't stand around there wondering if it's going to come up or not. He's so convinced the seed's going to come up, he goes out and buys a new pickup truck before the harvest even comes, knowing he's going to be able to pay for it at harvest time. I'm not telling you to go buy a new car or a new truck unless the Holy Spirit's telling you to do it. I'm saying expect. Expectation is the secret to life. Expectation is the secret to life. Expecting miracles in your family, in your finances, in your body, it's the secret to life. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:35, we'll close with this. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at right here. Verse 35. Hallelujah. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. That word is faith. P-I-S-T-I-S. It's the same word Paul uses consistently for faith. Which has great recompense of reward. Your faith will bring in your reward. Your faith in the Word of God will bring in your harvest if you'll not cast it away. When the devil comes and says, well, where is it? Where is it? That big mouth, hairy face preacher keeps on telling you it's coming. Where is it? You tell him it's coming. None of your business where it is. God knows where it is and he'll get it to me. None of my business where it is. Well, how come God hasn't gotten it to you? And how's God going to do it? You tell him it's none of my business how he's going to do it. All I need to know is that he'll do it and he'll do it honestly. He'll do it legally, and He'll do it morally, and He'll get it into my hands. Cast not away your confidence, your faith, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. Whoo! Hallelujah. Take a little peek. Hold your finger right there and go right over there to Hebrews chapter 6. Real quick. We're coming right back to 10, so don't go far. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. Hallelujah. Look right here. Are you there in Hebrews 6? Look at verse 12, talking about patience. Don't be slothful with your faith, but be followers of them who through faith alone inherit the promises. Be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's what the Lord said through Maurice tonight. Patience is the word. It came into my heart. Somebody's got a word. Just one single word. What's the word? Someone's got it. Give it. Patience, Maurice said, I believe is the word. That was the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're back over here at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God. 36. Hebrews 10, verse 36. We're back over here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Back up with me for a minute to verse 35. Hebrews 10, cast not away, verse 35. Therefore your confidence or your faith, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What does he mean by after you've done the will of God? After you've stood and believed in the face of the most contrary evidence against it. After you've done the will of God. What is the will of God? The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. Are you there? Did you get lost, somebody? Everybody okay? We're in Hebrews 10. We went over to Hebrews 6. We came back to Hebrews 10. We're back at Hebrews chapter 10. Amen. You have need of patience after you've done the will of God, patiently believing, you will receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he'll not tarry. Now, look here. The just shall live by faith. Pastor, how long do I have to stand in faith? For the rest of your life, get used to it. When do I get to stop standing in faith? Never! Amen. The just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But let's say this with me. We are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's actually talking about to the fulfillment of God's word in our lives. That saving word is soteria, to be blessed in every realm of your existence, emotionally, socially, financially, spiritually, physically. Hallelujah. We have to continue to stand. You don't want to give up one day before your miracle. We don't want to give up one day before the fullness of the blessing. Before the cork pops out and here comes the flow. Listen, did we just read enough scripture to prove to us that it's the will of God for us to live a blessed existence in this earth so we can seek and save the lost, destroy the works of the devil, and have life and have it more abundantly, have our houses paid off, our cars paid off, our families blessed, to live lives to where our lives are testimonies, let's stand up, of health and wealth in the earth so people will want to hook up with this family? It's the thief who came to kill, to steal, and to destroy, Jesus said. Anything that's killing and stealing and destroying our finances is the devil. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, it's my will that you have the hundredfold return in this life. Finances, family members, lands, real estate, and in the next life, eternal life. You get anything out of that tonight? Is it the will of God for us to prosper? Beloved, I wish above all things, 3 John 2 says, that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. Amen. We're going to sing a song tonight, and then we're going to close. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I said we were taking the offering. Hallelujah. Brother Maurice, if you would take the offering, amen. Hallelujah. And as we give to God tonight, let's give as a means of worship. Amen. Give expectantly. Give expectantly. Amen. We like to tell people all the time, don't just plunk something in there religiously. Do it by faith. God said, if you give, it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. With the same measure that we give, it will be given to us again. Amen? So give expectantly tonight into the offering. Give expectantly into this offering tonight. God wants you to have a breakthrough. Something's different around here. It's breakthrough time. We've been faithful. We've been patient. We've been obedient. We've refused to cast away our confidence when we've seen so many throw their faith away and walk away and say, it's too hard, I can't obey them. It's not too hard. It's not too hard. God gives grace for everything He calls us to do. The Bible says it's God who puts it in our heart to do a thing, and then He gives us supernatural ability to do it. He never calls us to do things we cannot do. He never gives us a job and then refuses to give us the tools to do it. Oh God, thank You for this offering tonight. Thank You, Father. We give. We give. We give not reluctantly, Father. We're not giving because somebody's twisted our arms or told us a sob story. We're giving, God, as an act of obedience. We're giving tonight as an act of worship and honor before You, Father. Like Jesus told the rich young ruler, we're given a portion of what You've given to us, Lord, to seek and save the lost. Destroy the works of the devil. Build up this church, God. Make it possible to make it possible for Barbara and I to continue to do what we do, Father, so that this church can grow, Father, so we can reach the Cape and in Massachusetts. And even as You put on my heart as we're praying tonight, Father, we'll take the northeast quadrant for Jesus. That's the plan. That's the vision, God. Oh, and even beyond, Father. God, we're given into the work of the kingdom. And we're fully expecting a harvest, God. Lord, without a harvest, we can't go on. Without a harvest, we can't finance the work of the gospel. We're dependent upon You, Father. We're dependent upon You, Father, and You are faithful. Therefore, we will not cast away our confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. And after we continue to do the will of God, once You are satisfied, we've been tested, we've been proven, we can be trusted. You pour out such abundance of blessing upon us, Father, we'll have to make room to receive it. Say, money!
Money!
Come!
Come.
Money!
Money!
Come!
Come.
Money!
Money.
Come.
Come!
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm impressed to ask you to please write on your checks from this night forward, money come. Money come. Money come. In Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be. Glory be. Glory be. Glory be. Hallelujah. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Hallelujah. It's time for us to go. Sabarado segi perata sagabarede. Just worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him. Sage perde gebarde sidiki barodoshike.